You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
So, as our listeners might know, me and Alston are big football fans, and the World Cup has just started. We're day two into the World Cup, the FIFA World Cup. Who are you cheering for, Alston?
Obviously, Canada. There is one correct answer here, Jeffrey. Come on.
I know, but like, who's your... I know we're cheering for Canada to do well, but who are you cheering to win the entire tournament? Who do you think is going to win the FIFA World Cup finals?
You know, I don't know who's going to win it, but I think if you ask me for my spicy dark horse pick, I'm going with Denmark. It's a spicy pick, I know, but they've got a really good team, man. And I'm not against it. And Germany, because I love German soccer.
I don't think you like German soccer. I think you just like one team in the Bundesliga. And that's why you're kind of saying that, you know, Germany should win.
Yes, I do. And for the record, it's not Bayern Munich. All right. Just before everyone thinks I'm like cheering for champions, it's not Bayern Munich.
I mean, you're a hipster, so you always pick, like how you picked the LA Kings, you probably picked Dortmund the same year that they won the Bundesliga, and that's why you cheer for them. And you just want to be a hipster and special and not pick the usual teams, not the Bayern Munichs. Even though they have a Canadian on their team, Alfonso Davies, you still cheer for Dortmund, which has a Christian Pulisic of the, no, not Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna. Pulisic a couple years ago.
See, I'm a hipster. All right, Jeffrey, enough about me, though. Who do you got for the win? Who are you cheering for? Who's your dark horse?
I mean, obviously, I am also cheering for Canada. I forgot to buy a Team Canada jersey, but from what I've heard, that it's not really worth buying a Team Canada jersey because it's probably just going to be a red shirt with a white number, so it's not going to be really worth it. But obviously, cheer for Canada to do well. I mean, if they make the round of 16, that'd be blessed, but it's going to be they're in a tough, tough group this season. Or this finals. My dark horse. I hate to say it, but I think Croatia is going to be another dark horse. You know, last time they were in the finals against France, I think that was that the Euros? Or was that... I can't remember. That must have been the last FIFA World Cup in Russia, where they just lost to France in the finals. Croatia's always got a sneaky team. They've got good players. They've always meshed really well, and you know that three-headed monster in the midfield of Modric, Brozovic, and Kovacic. You know that's a lot of itch to get around. So, Croatia is my underdog team, and the final, the winner. It's tough. I think the big pick is Brazil. I think a lot of people like Brazil, and I think they've got a good team too. So I'm gonna pick Brazil.
Boo. But, okay, enough about soccer, you know, since this is the Bag of Pucks podcast, not the Bag of Balls podcast. Is it too early to call the New Jersey Devils a dark horse? Are the New Jersey Devils my Denmark?
I mean, they've kind of got the color scheme going from them with the red, white, maybe not the black, but, you know, kind of. I think they've surprised teams. I mean, I think ever since they made that playoffs, what, like 6-7 years ago with Corey Schneider in net, I think, and they lost in the first round. I think we thought they were going to be a team on the up and up, and then they just kind of went downhill from there. But they seem to be back on the up and up. I think a lot of people knew that they had a decent team, but you know, we all thought that okay, were they going to be like 15-3 or whatever the record is. Probably not. Like, I think it's still too early to say. I mean, it is the Metro, so like, you could be 15-3, but you could still end up being like out of the playoffs. Like, I could still see the Devils not making it to the playoffs.
Sorry, did I hear that correctly? You said there's a chance they don't make the playoffs.
I mean, it's a unlikely chance, but I wouldn't say it's a non-zero.
Okay, yeah, obviously there's a possible chance that, I mean, they haven't clinched it, right? But I mean, all right, well, look at Trusty Money Puck. Trusty Money Puck has the Devils with a 97.4% chance of making the playoffs.
But I'm saying, like, with the Devils, though, right? Like, this is, once again, a very tough division every year. Like, I mean, besides, I would say, Columbus, I think every other team is a good contender. Like, I could see them battling it out, and then, you know, maybe New Jersey ends up in a wild card spot and ends up losing the first round to one of the division winners. Like, I'm still hesitant in saying, like, the Devils are, you know, contenders per se, but, you know, they're a good team. I think, like, they finally got some goaltending. I think they kind of figured out, you know, what their team, like, what they wanted to do. I mean, like, Lindy Ruff finally somehow solved the problem that he couldn't figure out in the first couple of games, but somehow can now, you know, manage this team. Like, I don't know, I feel like this team isn't like a contender. They're just maybe just on a hot streak, and I feel like they're gonna regress back to what they're supposed to be, which would probably be like a good, not great team, like a team that's going to fight for the playoff spot, but maybe it's not like a guaranteed playoff spot.
So it really sounds like there's something that this team is missing in your mind. I don't know what it is, but what is this team missing?
I think like an actual, I don't want to say actual, but basically, I think they're still missing wingers to play beside guys like Heischer and Hughes. Like, I think Jesper Bratt, great player. I think he's meshed really well with Hughes, and I think that's could be a combination going forward. But, like, guys they brought in, like Tatar and Palat. I know Palat's been injured for most of the season, so it's kind of hard to tell. But I feel like they need, like, that elite, like, winger. And I think Gaudreau would have been that perfect fit for them if they had caught him last offseason. But I just don't see that elite winger that really brings up this entire team. I feel like, you know, they've got, you know, they've got solid goaltending this season. Their defense isn't half bad. I think the Marino ad is a very sneaky good ad. But, I mean, you got to see what Ty Smith does. But, like, this team, I feel like it's very likely, too, it's going to be, like, a one and done. Like, they're going to make the playoffs. We think they're all going to go on the up and up, and then they're going to regress back down to a non-playoff team. Like, this is, it's a very likely chance for the Devils here.
I don't think anyone expects them to maintain the pace they're doing, right? Because then I think they're, if you know, if they're on that pace, they'll probably be what, under 10 losses. And I don't think anyone expects that, right? Don't get me wrong, but can they not be good enough to be running away with the division?
No, I feel like within this, it's just this division, right? We always know the Metro, all the teams play against each other so hard. And like, I just don't see New Jersey creating like such a gap. Like, they've got quite a few big gap right now, but are they going to create a big enough gap that they're going to be able to, you know, hold off everyone else? It's tough to say, I think. Like, I mean, what makes you so optimistic that the Devils are going to keep up this pace?
Well, I think for me, it's, if you look at it, the offense is coming not just from two or three players. Yes, you have two or three players literally leading the charge, as in Heischer, Bratt, and Hughes, but you're also seeing it kind of consistent throughout the rest of the lineup, right? You've got guys like Miles Wood having 10 points. You know, you have guys like John Marino having 8 points. Like, it's consistent. You're not completely relying on it. So I think even if, you know, knock on wood, someone gets hurt from those three, you can tell from just with the limited sample size that they have the next guy stepping up. And I think that's really valuable. And they also have guys who are, you know, available to step up whoever needs next, right? And what I mean by that is, you have an Andre Palat who's injured. You have an Andreas Johnsson in the minors. You know, if anything happens, there's still someone there. And I think right now they've probably built a large enough lead. I know it's only 7 points from the Hurricanes, but if they continue this kind of pace where even if they slow down a little bit, the gap that they need to make the playoffs, I think they built a large enough gap to be not terrible. Don't get me wrong, they're very terrible. Yeah, they're not going to make playoffs, but just a little bit worse, they're going to make the playoffs.
Can I point out a very interesting, just a very interesting fact? So far, the Devils have played only 4 divisional games out of 26 this season. They've only played the Islanders, the Flyers, the Capitals, and the Blue Jackets. And they stuffed 22 more divisional games against what I've been saying is a very tough metro. So I feel like they've had a very soft schedule too, which has kind of bumped up, you know, their like kind of like their stats and like just overall like why they look like such a good team. I mean, like, you face the Ducks, you've gone on your Western road trip and faced them when all those teams were in a bad spot. I mean, like, this is a team that I think like, you know, maybe let's give it 10 more games and I think we're gonna see what they actually are. Like, this is,
but I would also say they beat in the last win streak, obviously. They beat the Avalanche, they beat the Oilers, they beat the Flames twice, they beat the Leafs, you know what I mean? I think you have two extremes in the players, teams that they've played. They've played either very good teams or very bad teams, and they've won all of them, right? They won where they needed to win. I'm looking at you, Coyotes, I'm looking at you, Sanders. And they also won where they could have been tight, where I'm looking at teams like the Avs, the Devils, the Flames, right? They lost against the Avs. I don't think anyone would bat an eye, to be honest with you. But, you know, at the end of the day, tonight against the Oilers might be the night where they end that streak. But they've played some bad opponents, don't get me wrong, but they've played some good ones as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think just overall, the schedule has been very friendly to them, I would say. And yeah, I mean, yes, they've... No, I agree, you know, beating the Avs, you know, beating the Leafs, those are big wins. Beating the Oilers, big win. But again, those are one goal games. Those are games that, you know, maybe a year ago they were losing all of them, and maybe this year they're winning all of these one goal games. But realistically, like, if we average it out, I think, you know, the Devils maybe aren't going to be as good of a record as they have right now, but they're still a really good team. I think they're one of those fancy stats teams where, like, they have the most shot attempts and they're allowing the least shot attempts too. So, like, what they have is sustainable, but maybe not as sustainable as what we're seeing right now.
Well, I think when you look at it, right, like, they're third in the league in goals per game with 3.78, and their goals against is 2.33, so, like, the second best. They don't actually have the highest shooting a save percentage for goalies. So not really relying on goalies, which I think was something that is there's a concern, right? At the end of the day, the goalies and goaltending, if you look at the names alone, right? I'm just looking at this, just pure names. It's not a great group, right? But they're winning through offense.
Yeah, no. I agree. Like, that's why, like, I'm kind of hesitant. Like, there's no way they're gonna keep teams under 25 shots a game. Like, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. I think you're gonna give up a couple more shots and then therefore give up a couple more goals. The offense, I think it's there to stay though. Like, I know, like you said, right? Like, Miles Wood with 10 points in 18 games already. We haven't really seen Palat play, and they've got some young depth, which is good. I'm just worried, right? Like, this is still, like, a kind of a young team. Like, I think they're going to miss not having that big forward, because I think a lot of these younger guys are going to hit some walls, and they're not going to be able to continue producing as they've been the rest of, like, the season. Like, they've got, like, some of the young guys, like, I don't know, like, Dawson Mercer kind of grew on the scene last year. Igor Sharaganovic, like, they've got some guys, like, that are interesting, but, like, are they clear-cut, you know, top six guys? Probably not. And I think that's what I was saying before. They're missing that top six winger that could really, you know, bump up this team.
Nope, you bring a good point. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone expects them to continue at this pace. But you brought up something interesting about young guy playing the NHL. Now, I want your opinion on. So, Shane Wright of the Seattle Kraken played 7 games in NHL so far, 1 assist. He was possibly going to be the first overall pick. That was a discussion, right? But he slid down to 4th. And he's been sent down for a conditioning loan. I think it's just a weird little CBA things where he can't play for X amount of games in a row. Then he gets sent down for a conditioning stint. And the plan was he gets a conditioning stint at the AHL, so he gets to play in the AHL. And then he gets loaned to Team Canada for the World Juniors. And then on January 1st, he's eligible to get back to the CHL as a to be traded in the CHL. And I guess they don't want him developing and playing at the Kingston Frontenacs, where maybe there's a trade already set in place so that he gets traded to another team. Like, Jeffrey, what have you heard about this?
I think with Shane Wright, like, I think he needed playing time. I think that's a problem with... You need to give these guys like a spot on the team. If you're going to play a new draft, like an 18-year-old, you want to play him right away, you need to put them in an advantageous situation. And when you've got to deal with, you know, like with Seattle, they had, you know, a decent team. You know, they didn't have a great team, but, you know, they could have put Shane Wright in a better position instead of playing him 4 or 5 minutes. Maybe they could have put some of their other guys, you know, like, could you not have put Yanni Gourde as your fourth line center instead of having Shane Wright as your fourth line center? I know you want to kind of protect him, but Shane Wright, his ceiling is not a fourth line guy. Like, you need to put him in good positions. You know, yes, they gave him some power play minutes, you know, but like, you can't play him 8 minutes a game and hope that he's going to develop into, you know, that complete center that you want him to be. Like, I think a little bit of mismanagement. I mean, I would love to see Shane Wright back, you know, with the Kingston Frontenacs. I get to watch it. Maybe I can get a signature. Maybe I can get him in for, like, I don't know. Like, I think it would be really cool if we did get him. Like, got to see him play with the Fronts again. But, like you said, like, there's a good chance to, like, he might just end up getting traded or who knows. Like, I don't know. I think it's a good idea to send him back to play in, the World Juniors. I think that would be good. I'm just not a big fan of these guys thinking that they can just use these players for a couple games, see how they do, and then just end up sending them back. Like, I think we all kind of knew that there wasn't really a spot for Shane Wright on Seattle, and he should have been sent down a little bit earlier, like, to really give him some playing time. I feel like, yes, like, you know, you're trying him out, you give him that NHL experience, but maybe it's going to demoralize him a little bit that he can't make the NHL squad.
So I actually disagree with you. I think there's value in those 10 games because players get to actually get exposed to that NHL team environment, right? You make sure that you understand, hey, this is how these players act on and off the ice. And at the same time, the coaching staff get to keep a specific plan. Like, I'm sure they have communications with the junior teams over the season, being like, hey, they need to work on this, this, and that. But it's different when, you know, they're skating in the mornings with the rest of the team, getting those plans in. I think the issue kind of comes down with he's probably too good for the OHL. He's not good enough for the NHL, but he's not eligible for the AHL. So what now? Like, this is a loophole. Don't get me wrong. This is fully just a loophole type of deal. But what do you do with it now, right? Like, I don't think they've... People are over. So I feel people have overreacted when they're like, oh, they've destroyed his development. I mean, not really. He's played 7 games this season. He's going to play 5 more in the AHL. How many games would he have played in the OHL? 15, 20, 25? Like, he's played less, don't get me wrong, but it hasn't been that much lower where everyone's just like, oh my gosh, he's basically ruined as a prospect.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just that I think for a lot of these guys, like, I don't know. It's always tricky, like, with these first round, high first round picks. Like, most of them, I think, just need to go back and dominate another season. Like, I think if you're, I don't know. It's just interesting, I think, with Shane Wright, because I think he could have, like, done with another season in the OHL. I mean, he's gone through 2 pandemic seasons. Like, maybe he can still, you know, make some, you know, get some growth in the OHL. Like, I think there's still opportunity for him. I'm just, you know, like, is the AHL the best place too now? Like, yeah, like I feel like maybe this is going to be like a season where we don't really make too many predictions of Shane Wright's career. I think maybe the season's kind of like, okay, we're just going to let him do what he wants to do. And then next season, we're going to see, can he make this team? Is he good enough? Has he improved enough to, you know, make that jump? And like, unfortunately, like I'm looking at the Seattle team, unless they make some trades, like there's next year, there's probably not a spot for him again, unless they're willing to move some guys around. Like, I don't know. Like it kind of reminds me of like, kind of like Juraj Slafkovský, where he's on another team where they've got good forward depth and there's just not a spot for him. Like, where is the best place to play him? You still want him to, you know, play meaningful minutes. So, like, yes, he's getting some, like, power play time. But realistically, like, you want to give him, like, a little bit more than, you know, the 11 minutes he gets per game. Like, which is, you know, quite a bit more than Shane Wright, actually, right now. So, I don't know. It's just a hard discussion with these high overall picks. And, you know, once they play their 9 games, like, where do they go? Or, like, when you realize, okay, they won't make your NHL team, but where's the next best place to put them in development?
Okay, but you mentioned a good point, though. These high picks, if they're good enough, teams will find a spot for them. They will work around everything to find a spot for them. They will trade other players to make sure they play. Right? So I'm not as worried, but at the same time, I think there is a bit of worry, I guess, where it's just trying to figure out that stop-start can't be great for the development either, right? When you're playing 2-3 games, then don't play for 5 games so you can get sent down so you can play 5 games. That stop-start isn't great for their development either.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I'm just looking at what Seattle did this offseason. I think I agree. You know, you need to bring in Burakovsky. You need to bring in Bjorkstrand. But then at the same time, you know, could you not move off from a guy like Wendberg? Like, I think Yanni Gord's an important guy for your team. I think Jerry McCann's important for your team as well. And, you know, they're proven commodities. But could you not have moved a guy to open up like a... Because, like, you also got Matty Beniers on this team. Like, you're trying to develop him too. So it's kind of hard to protect 2 guys who play the same position and, you know, be able to give them the opportunity to grow. Like, I don't know. Like, I think, yes, teams should make a move. But, like, I think when you're seeing these guys only getting these, like, 8-9 game, like, tryouts, I think you're more than likely going to see, like, these guys aren't going to make the team.
I'm not even thinking in that sense. I'm thinking of injuries where you just stop, start. The injuries, like I'm wondering if that would affect injuries. And I think we are seeing a lot of injuries this year. And I wouldn't be shocked if more injuries happen because of playing like that in general. I'm looking at the goalies, I'll be honest with you.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. Like, I'm thinking more of like, I don't know. I just don't like the fact that, like, you know, they try these guys out and, you know, they're clearly not ready, but they just want to give them that NHL experience. And then I don't know if that's great for their development. Like, I think it'd be interesting to kind of look back the last couple years and see, like, which guys have done, like, that little, you know, little tryout at the beginning of the season and where they're now. Like, I think it'd be very interesting to see. Like, tough to say. I mean, you've got Brent Clark in LA who's kind of in that same situation. So, I don't know. Like, he probably is not going to get called up ever again this season unless he kind of flourishes in the AHL or something. Like, I just don't know if that's the right way to develop these guys.
For the record, I did not bring up the LA Kings. All right. Jeffrey did. Jeffrey's obsessed with the LA Kings. And I don't blame him. You know, LA Kings are a great team with a bunch of healthy players. You know, the only injuries I think I see right now are Alex Iafallo and Brendan Lemieux. Unlike his precious Montreal Canadiens, who have Jonathan Drouin, Paul Byron, and Carey Price all hurt. And One thing I've noticed, that's, you know, Jeffrey's goaltending for his precious Montreal Canadiens did get me noticing. Goalie injuries are up this year, aren't they, Jeffrey?
I feel like it has been. Like, I think there's been like, quite a few goalies that have been out, or at least like have missed like a game or two when they're not missing games. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe it's because I'm playing too much fantasy hockey and it just feels like my goalies keep getting injured, or other people's goalies keep getting injured, and I just see people like frantically picking up their replacements. Like, I listened to the Carey Price press conference a couple of weeks ago where he was talking about, you know, how goalies, like, that's a very demanding position, and, you know, he needs to, like, you know, take care of his body. And some guy asked the questions, like, maybe are goalies, like, playing incorrectly and that's causing all these injuries? And, like, he doesn't think so. Like, I think, like, I wouldn't call it, like, an epidemic, but it seems like goalies are just getting more injured, and like, it just, maybe it's just the way they play. Like, maybe they need to stop playing. Maybe you just gotta go back to the old ways of Marc Campbell and just play stand up, and then that way you won't get injured and you can play 70 games a season. I don't know. Maybe something's up with the goalies this season.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. Our fantasy league, I just draft and then I have someone else take care of my day to day, right? So I don't have to pay attention. The only main goalie ones I really pay attention to is Matt Murray. Who else has been hurt since there's an epidemic of injuries?
I think this season, Samsonov's been injured, Vanacek's been injured, Blackwood's been injured, Andre's been injured, Wedgwood's been, got called out, like, left the game early. I'm trying to think what's out. Allmark was injured, I think, for a little bit. Swayman was injured. Anderson was injured. Marc-Andre Fleury's injured. Do you want me to keep going? I'm trying to think of more names off the top of my head, but like, it's a pretty extensive list of goalies have been out, I think. Like, I think at least one goalie per team. Like, I think there's been at least 32 goalie injuries, which is maybe a little high to some people, but I think it's high. Like, 32 goalie potential injuries, like, this season, like, and we're a quarter of the way in, like, something's up. And this is, like, even with the fact that, like, goalies, like, starting goalies are playing less and less games. Like, you're more reliant on having a backup to spell your starter some couple of days more rest. Like, something's up with the goalies.
For the record, I thought the LA Kings have not got had an injury, but I realized, I forgot, Cal Peterson did get hurt this year. Yeah, you know, my first thought was, man, maybe it's the playing style. I mean, I would say goalies are pretty protected, right? Like, when a goalie gets hit, everyone protects the goalie. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just pointing out that they just tend to be more protected.
I think so, but it's not, I don't think it's like necessarily like they're getting injured in play. I think it's just the way how they're positioned. Is that the right word? Like, I mean, like, think about like a catcher in baseball where they're always crouched. Like, I know I have a friend who played softball catcher and her knees are screwed up from playing that. Like, and not like she got injured, but it's just that same repetition and putting so much strain on your body. Like, I think if you're a skater, you're out there, you're kind of in a natural position. But like, as a goalie, when you're kind of like, your knees are always kind of bent and locked, you're trying to go side to side, like, you're putting a lot of pressure on your groin, your, like, your lower body, your back. Like, I think it's that positioning, that, you know, that frequent flip going around, that's causing, you know, more injuries than, you know, saying just get injured on a play.
I guess my point would be, what's different from this year to other years?
I don't know. I wonder if it's just, you know, things catching up to people. Like, maybe now, you know, goalies are just more likely to get injured or something. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the start of the season. So, like, I don't know, like, exactly what's causing this, but I just think it's interesting to kind of, you know, see this.
Yeah, no, I think I was curious. I was like, what kind of players are injured? Yeah, there's quite a few, right? They've got guys like Eric Comrie's hurt, Merzlikins is hurt, Anderson's hurt, Bernier, Blackwood. Like you mentioned, right? You pulled out a lot of names, and you do bring up a good point. It's not like a specific part where they're hurt. It's like, you know, you've got some with concussions, you've got some with lower body injuries, you've got some players with knee injuries. You know, like it's everywhere. So it's not like a specific thing they're doing, right? So I mean, it is an interesting thing you do bring up here, and I'm wondering what the NHL can do compared to other players, right? Because I think goalies have to get treated a little bit differently, right? So I'm curious what they can do and what they're going to do, because you can't just keep having all your players just constantly be hurt.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying there. I think it's just we're seeing maybe goalies need to, you know, go back, like I said before. You know, Martin Brodeur, probably one of my favorite goalies of all time. Just got to play stand-up, you know. Put less strain in your body and you're going to have a wonderful career and be a Hall of Famer just like that.
Is it playing stand-up or playing stand-up and having two goalies that you constantly play?
I wonder if it even goes back to that discussion we had before. Maybe you need to play goalies like continuously. Like you need to play them the 60, 70 games because that way there's less of that stop start. Like you said, like maybe that's what we're missing. Like we need to see, you know, goalies do that more often. Like, I don't know. Like, I like, you know, the fact that yes, maybe we need to give goalies a day off, you know, more to, you know, protect them for the playoffs and stuff, but is that like fully proven? Like, do you like, I think it's important to have like a good, you know, backup goalie. So like, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm only playing my backup goalie on all the, every time we play a back-to-back, then I need to play my backup goalie as a second goalie. But like every once in a while, if you want to give your goalie extended break, I think, you know, it's more useful to do like well-timed planned breaks for the goal your starter than, you know, just having like a 1A, 1B type. Like I think people are saying like, oh yeah, like look at how Colorado they did it. Like Kemper, he's not a great goalie, but you know, he had Francois who, you know, could even play in the playoffs. Like I think yes, you need to have, you know, two solid goalies, but I think you still need that number one starter that can really play you, you know, 60, 70 games if you need to.
So you prescribe more to the, I would say, I don't know, the Nashville Predators goalie development, goalie playing theories than, let's say, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I'd say like the more traditional way of seeing goalies play, you know, the 65-17 like type of like, I want to have a really good starter who will play me 60 something games and I'm going to win, you know, 60% of those games and put myself in a good spot and my backup goalie only has to win me half the games type of thing. Like I'm not like a big, you know, yes, let's, you know, play whichever goalie's hot or like, or what Boston did last year where they just literally just alternated starts. Like, I feel like that's not helpful. Like, I think you want to have you want to have good goalie. It's not like you can't play it like fantasy hockey where you're just like, okay, I just need to get like a certain amount of points from my goalie. Like, I think if you're in real life, you need to have like a good starter and, you know, preventing them from injury just to, by playing your backup goalie a couple of games is not the right way to do it.
So not playing for the sake of playing.
Yeah, like when we play fantasy, like how I play fantasy hockey, which is probably different from you, Olsen. Like when I'm looking at goalies, I'm looking at, like, you know, I just need them for their stats. Like in our one league, you know, goalies aren't worth much. So really the number one goalie, or maybe not the number one goalie. So like the difference between, you know, the 10th best goalie to the 40th best goalie or the 50th best goalie is not a huge difference. But I would say in the NHL, when you're going from your 10th best goalie in the NHL versus it's swapping in like the 50th or the 40th best goalie, like that's a huge difference in actually like winning. And sure, you need to give your goalie a break sometime, but I think giving up 2 points like that just so that your goalie might be more healthy come the playoffs, I don't think that's the right philosophy.
No, I think it's one of those things where you can fall into either camp and there's no right answer. I believe in the two goalies. You just have to be two pretty good goalies instead of one great goalie and one bad goalie. You go with two pretty good goalies, usually does better, and that's how I've approached it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it either. Don't get me wrong. I think that's the point of it, right? It falls into either. I think this is going to be it's been an interesting season. It'll continue to be an interesting season, especially with, you know, just with a lot of random storylines that are just here and there pop in and out. But for this episode, that's all I've got.
Honestly, I think that's pretty much all I have too. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like, will Shane Wright play in an NHL game this season? I think so. I mean, he technically still has two more games he can play in the NHL before he burns a year of his contract. So, I don't know. I don't think he plays another. Maybe he plays like the last two games of the season. Like, say, like their AHL team is not doing well, and like they're not gonna play a playoffs. Like, maybe they'll play him for the final two games, just give him a little bit more NHL experience or something. But I mean, Seattle's also somehow Seattle's in a playoff position this year, so like maybe they might use him in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. Like you said, there's a lot of interesting storylines. We're going to continue to bring it here to you guys on the Bag of Pucks podcast. That's all I have to say, and that's kind of my final thoughts. So I guess I'll just turn it over to you, Olsen, for our final thoughts of this episode.
Actually, if the schedule that people believe is coming to plan, then he will actually play one more NHL game before going to World Juniors, and that is against the Montreal Canadiens. So that will be interesting for sure. I also do believe that he will go to the CHL, and then once the CHL season's over, he'll hop back over to the NHL. Whether he plays or not, I'm not sure. I think he at least gets a chance to get that experience. I would maybe even consider this year kind of a wash in the sense that it's whatever. But in terms of final thoughts, I don't have any. There's not much that goes on in my brain. Jeffrey can kind of attest to that. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BOP_POD, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.